Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Everyone's asleep.
In the shadow of crime, resigned to be the victims of fear, of violence, of social impotence.
You step outside, you risk your life. You take a drink of water, you risk your life. And nowadays you breathe, and you risk your life.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
That is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. And sometimes because it's fun.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show. I need to come up with a new exciting intro, but we are broadcasting live right now on American Freedom Radio. For the benefit of the listening audience, thank you very much for tuning in. I actually really appreciate it when you do tune in live. I appreciate it when you share the archives and watch them and comment on them and things like that. It's really good to get feedback. So many of you listeners have commented about certain things happening on the show, like there would be this weird squeaky noise or something like that, and it was my desk. And my friend John, he came round one time, and the desk used to wobble side to side, and he fixed that. And it used to squeak as well. And after he came round just the other day, he fixed that too. So now I can wobble the desk, and it's not squeaking in a loud, scary tone of voice. Thank you, John. See, this is the listener contributions that we get. And also I want to give a shout-out to Leon as well, who travelled up here to Auckland all the way from sunny Gisborne to water blast my deck and do a couple of jobs around the place, you know, as a donation. He couldn't afford to pay me anything, but he could afford to get himself a bus ticket up here, you know. Just we all help out people in the way that we can. The way that I can help people is, you know, give them space to speak about very important issues where they ordinarily wouldn't get any coverage. Now, that is a very time-intensive job, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a lot out of you when you're editing or when you're broadcasting. As anybody who's a broadcaster or a video editor knows, it can be excruciating, especially if you're not being paid. All right, and it's not the reason that I do this, but it does help to have a roof over my head and the internet bills paid for by all those automatic payments that come into the Kiwi Bank by ordinary Kiwis who are giving, you know, well, I think it was somebody who's giving $1.56 a week, you know, that kind of thing. He goes, no, I can't afford $2, but I can afford $1.56 a week. And it's like, oh my God, the contributions that people give out of what little they have. I mean, it's the reason why I can keep doing this, but it is not the reason that I do it. Much like the reason why those people donate is not because of things that I'm doing. It's because of the things that I've already done. And a very long track record here of being on the side of the people who have the facts. You know, just trying to make sure that those facts get out there. Notice it didn't say truth. Because there are a lot of people out there masquerading as barons of truth. They're big, extravagant operations and things like that, with many minions to do a lot of the groundwork or something like that. But the Vinnie Eastwood show is just me. All right. And when I'm doing the live broadcasts, American Freedom Radio is helping to share that out, and they're doing the archives and things like that. But in terms of coming up with the show and the guests and so on and so forth, and doing all the editing and the archiving and a million social media things, I could go on for the remainder of this hour about just the stuff that I had to do today. Like three whole archives and the amount of different audio files and video links and descriptions and tags and so on and so forth, and the amount of times they need to be shared repeatedly across varying Facebook groups of a similar topic nature. This kind of thing. People don't realize the amount of just excruciating work that has to go on back here. Including doing, what was it, the cannabis armistice videos, right? 8 speeches. They sat there and edited out everybody's ums and ahs and made them, like, speak a lot quicker and that kind of thing, and put a little bit of music under it. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot of work, but and it's not, you know, particularly hard to do. It just takes time, you know. So that was, like, 3 days of my time to make sure that 8 people who gave their speeches at the cannabis armistice actually have their voices heard by more than the few dozen people that actually turned up, not including any except one of the previous cannabis rally at that location who were politicians, all right? All of these politicians, like, showed up before the election. Oh, we're going to do this about medical cannabis and that about medical cannabis. And not one of them shows up after it, except the Legalized Cannabis Party co-leader, Mackie Herbert. Right? It's just – it's a frustrating thing for me to do so much work to make sure that these people get the coverage they deserve, and to not have people sometimes share the links or even give it a like or that kind of thing. It's just like all that work just goes into nothingness. Much like the this, what would happen if those people had sat up there and did their speeches without me filming it, you know? And it wasn't just me filming it, but am I the only one who's gotten all their videos up already? Happened on last weekend, you know, that kind of thing? No. Not charging anybody for that service, am I? Because those activists can't afford it. These are sick, dying people, right? They can barely even make it to that protest themselves. And speaking of which, we're going to go into our first article here, which is just music to my eyeballs. I don't know if that's the expression, but let me read this out for you. Leaked email: United Future Party to disband after election struggle. Now, I met the person pictured here in this article, Damien Light, and it was interesting because I quizzed him about the conflicts of interest that the United Future Party, Peter Dunn, had when he was trying to ban cannabis, legalize synthetic cannabis, at the same time that his son was one of the chief legal lobbyists for the synthetic cannabis industry, which have since been named synthetic drugs after scientific research has found out that there's no cannabis in it. Not even close to a singular compound of cannabis was ever in it. They just said it because it would make it popular. And now it's a scourge because it got banned, just like cannabis did. Cannabis hasn't become a scourge per se. The cannabis laws have. And think about the people now being busted with synthetic stuff. It's just like, oh my God, it's out of the crazy. Peter Dunn, the United Future Party, for decades, right? Since 1984, since the year I was born until now, that guy, Peter Dunn, from the United Future Party, has been in Parliament blocking cannabis law reform. So hence, when I saw the headline, leaked email, United Future Party to disband after election struggle, my first natural response is, justice. But the kid pictured there, Damien Light, he was just kind of like dodging the questions that I asked him when I met him about Peter Dunne's conflicts of interest and stuff. Like, oh, but it's actually blah, 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 and he's not in that anymore. Yeah, but that doesn't excuse the particular behavior at the time, bro. Just because somebody's not committing the exact same crime anymore doesn't mean no crime was committed. An email to United Future members that appears to be from party leader Damien Light says the party is disbanding. Light is pictured here with partner Josh Harding. Those of you in the radio listen can't see that. But anyway, United Future party members have decided unanimously to disband the party. Unanimously! And this follows Peter Dunne stepping down, right? He was the only thing that party had. And as soon as his electorate had, like, not enough votes, like, guaranteed not enough votes because everybody hated him and everybody was, like, banding together, even the major parties were banding together to freaking get that guy out, he goes, oh, I'm not going to contest this election. I'm going to get out. Just conveniently at the time when he reverses his situation on cannabis and says, oh, yeah, I want medical, I want legal, and I want to legalize all drugs and all of that kind of stuff. And then the second it's going to actually be able to make any votes or any change on that, he leaves Parliament and then their party disbands along with their promises. And the only thing that's left is a track record of scumbaggery and empty promises. You know, no wonder that puppy's disbanding. That's enough time I'm actually going to spend on that particular topic there, because it fills me with hate, and this show's supposed to be fun. Hate can be fun, though, can't it, Vinny? Maybe we should go back. No! Control yourself. Greens will not support revised TPP trade deal. How interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that the globalist Greens Party, whose frickin', what would you call it, policies, in inverted commas, are quite literally a carbon copy of Agenda 21. Like, literally, there's actually, like, boxes and boxes on Agenda 21 that says, oh, this area will do that and this area will do that and that kind of thing to make it all simplified for everybody. And then the Green Party basically copy-pasted that and then put it on their website as all of their policies. Like, that's their policies, Agenda 21, full frickin' stop. What does that mean? In regards to the TPP, well, Agenda 21 is about privatization of everything and the enslavement of sovereign nations to a new world order and a global government to be governed by ruthless criminal sociopathic banking elites and so forth. So naturally, when the new Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, who got a Freemason scholarship before she then went into internationalism school in the UK, helping to cover up incidentally, a Freemason's sexual abuse scandal involving senior police. Her daddy's also a 40-year police career and got appointed to the, what was it, High Commission of Niue, little Pacific Island nation. And then she went to work for the Better Business Bureau, which is a pro-business agency, which was like contracted by the UK or something like that to try and, I don't know, get the EU to work better. And by better, they mean cutting red tape for enormous businesses that are owned by the same banking elites, etc., and strangling small businesses with red tape. And then she came to New Zealand and became mentored by a whole bunch of members, high-profile Labour Party members of globalist organizations like the Club de Madrid, Helen Clark, which is former heads of state that want to bring about a new world order, right? And Parliamentarians for Global Action, which is populated with members of parliament from around the world. And then they go around the world and do all these little talks and things like that and school them in internationalism and how it's a good thing. And then Jacinda becomes a prime minister and everybody's like, yay, everything's going to change. She's not neoliberal or anything like that. No. And I'm like, there's nothing going on here. Right, there's just nothing going on here, right? I'm going to start reading the article because it also ties in interesting how you've got a number of bad globalist players who are playing themselves up against each other, making this seem like there's actually any frickin' difference between them, right? As if some of them have got principles, right? When they freaking don't, they just don't have any principles, okay? The Green Party will vote against legislation to bring the revised Trans-Pacific Partnership into effect, despite PM Jacinda Ardern's assurances it was, quote, a damn sight better than the original. Oh, yeah, we've got this incredibly dangerous, poisonous pill that could kill 10 people just by swallowing it. But now it'll only kill, like, 5 people when you swallow it. It's a good deal, man. It's a good deal. But isn't everybody going to be swallowing that one poison pill that can kill 5 people?
Yeah.
But that doesn't be, that's not actually really an improvement or of any benefit. That's still death and enslavement to a global government through trade deals, etc., much like the EU did to the UK. Notice how that Brexit vote ain't actually going through. What did you think was going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? That they'd give you your freedom back because you voted for it? laughing to hide real pain. That will leave Labour reliant on the National Party. Oh my God, this is 45% in the House are like support of this kind of thing. And that's what's frustrating to me, ladies and gentlemen, is that it doesn't matter who's in power, they still basically have the same allotted alignment for votes through the House as the other people who used to be in power anyway. So there's no discernible difference. It's scumbaggery. It is scumbaggery. It is scumbaggery. We'll be reliant on the National Party to stick to its pledge to support the legislation needed to implement the agreement once it is signed. Now, we've passed the TPPA, lock, stock and barrel, through New Zealand Parliament already. All right? All we needed to do was sign the treaty or whatever the heck, and then there's some BS about Trump pulling out, and then we signed a one-on-one trade deal with Trump. What does it matter if he pulled out of the TPPA if we have the exact same kind of BS trade deal with them anyway? All right? Global government, by hook or by crook. And this is where it gets interesting. I told people from the very beginning that if the TPP doesn't pass or runs into trouble or whatever, that they will simply change the name of it and continue to push it in your face, right? I'll continue to read the article before we get to that point, though. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern confirmed Labour is set to sign up for the revised version of the Trans-Pacific Partnership after changes during last-minute negotiations on the sidelines of APEC in Vietnam, where she incidentally met the head of Facebook. And so did, like, Justin Trudeau and Malcolm Turnbull, the respective prime ministers of Canada and Australia. All right? Justin Trudeau didn't go to the TPP, little thingy. All right? He was more interested in talking to the lady from Facebook, the CEO. Facebook government, all right? Facebook government. Imagine that. Voting through it and this kind of thing. Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Only if you think. Legislation to introduce the agreement, now renamed CPTPP, the Comprehensive Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, interesting little bit of tidbit of knowledge about the word progressive is that back in the McCarthy era, the 70s, there was a lot of heat generated about communism during the Cold War, right? So they made it illegal for the United States to have a communist party. So what did the communist party do about this? Did they continue to campaign as the communist party, knowing that they would get arrested for it? Or did they change it to the progressive party? You guessed it, they changed it to the progressive party. So what you're doing here is you've going comprehensive communist Trans-Pacific Partnership. All right, translations. Interesting when you find out what things really are, isn't it? Go into the etymology. It would go to Parliament, including a select committee process to ensure there could be public input. Oh, yes, the select committee process. I know about these. I've seen many of them, where heaps and heaps and heaps of people from all over the country bust their ass to write something and go there and deliver it in person and write in all of these letters and send all these petitions and so on and so forth. And then these bored-looking politicians under fluorescent lighting all day. Has to sit there and listen to this shit. And at the end of it, they ignore all of it and pass what they were going to pass anyway. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen time and time again, and I'm not an old man yet. And that's what I'm talking about, this renaming of something. CPTPP. You know, something harder to remember than TPPA. It's a CPTPP. Yeah. You know, CPTPP, yeah, you know me. I can, see, you can't even make a protest rhyme out of it, bro. It's just not a word. How do you get people to say the CPTPP? The CPTPP, oh my God. You know, like, the only people who could actually chant that would be rappers. Which conveniently I can do in a pinch. Now, those changes that they're making to this included some exemptions from investor-state disputes resolution mechanisms and suspension of aspects of the agreement which were specific to the United States prior to withdrawal. Word salad. What the hell does that mean? It means that if you pass a law in any way, shape, or form that impedes the economic viability of a company who otherwise didn't even have any economic viability in the first place, they could sue you in the international courts, which they own and control, for lost profits that they didn't even make and will continue not to make, as you have to continue to pay for their lost profits that they didn't make till the end of time, or until such a time as you run out of money to pay them, and then they start asking for your strategic assets to fold them into the privatized global government. This is how these trade deals turn your sovereign state into nothing. No independence, no freedom, no sovereignty. What does sovereignty mean? It means you're a king, the lord of the land. You know what a lodeal title is, bro? It's when you actually are a lord on your land, which means you can tell cops to get off your land. You literally are the law and the lord with lodeal title, okay? When you sell or buy a home, does it come with a lodeal title to it? Mm-mm-mm. It belongs to the government, and that's why you have to pay rates. Perhaps a bit of a Freudian slip there. Deliberate Freudian slip. You know, like, oh, I tripped, I fell, I landed in her vagina. You know, like a deliberate Freudian slip. Although Ardern said it was a marked improvement on the deal that the national government had negotiated, Green Party trade spokeswoman Gulriz Gariman, see, I pronounced that right on the first try. That's because I know my grammar, man. She said it would not go far enough to secure the party's support. We don't think the changes make enough substantive difference. What a surprise. We are glad Pharmac is more protected. By more protected, they mean not protected at all. And there's actually just a wedge in the door to allow globalist criminals to come in and sabotage whatever Pharmac is. You know, and when I say whatever Pharmac is, I know what Pharmac is. But the thing is, it doesn't matter because it's not just that one thing in isolation that they're going to apply this entire spectrum of stratagem in order to corrupt and destroy and bring under their control and make us all subservient. Okay? It is everything. Everything. But actually, we can still be sued for breaches under the investment chapter, so we don't think that's gone far enough. As I said, that being sued for the investment chapter, international court, no rules, they own it, we pay them forever. Simple as that. Okay? The Labour government wants to sign this deal, folks.
think they're on your side? If they were on your side, they would sign a trade deal with only two letters. N-O. Okay? If they're on your side, the answer is TPPA or CPPTPPP, whatever it is now. Hey, the answer is no. Just no, bro. Just no. She said it would have been good if New Zealand had pushed harder, as Canada and Vietnam had done. She said Labour had always known the Greens would oppose it, and it was made clear in negotiations before it signed up for its confidence and supply agreement. It would not impact on the government's ability to sign up to the CPTPP. The CPTPP, the CP. I am the monarch of the sea, and I signed the CPTPP. That's a Pirates of Penzance thing, I thought, or HMS Pinafore. I forget. I never even heard it before. Let alone Pinafore. National leader Bill English has promised national support to get the deal done, saying it was vitally important for the country and wider region. Yeah, that's right. The region, right? You're talking about the oceanic region. Okay. This is how they're going to put us into a block, just like they did to the European Union. First, it was the EEC, the European Economic Community, a trade deal to line everybody up. And then all of a sudden, they've all got the same government now, which has ridiculous restrictions on absolutely everything of any kind. Like, if you are a small business, you won't be. All right. It's not that you're going to grow any bigger. That you won't even get your foot in the door anymore. And that's the reason why these trade deals exist, to strangle small businesses with red tape and to cut red tape for larger corporate chains and things of that nature. Who is a specialist in doing that and has that in their work record? Why, the new Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, when she worked for the Better Business Bureau in the UK and helped to do the exact same thing for European Union businesses. Do you get what's going on here? These people are playing us. I'm very frustrated at the amount of hope. Like there's even a skerrick of hope out there that these people are on their side. It's just no. No, they're not. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. That it doesn't matter what you get in terms of concessions. They will eventually take everything from you in one way, shape, or another. They are snakes, and you can't deal with them as if their word means something. You have to know. Not think, not assume, but know that if they're not lying, then they're certainly withholding something. Which means that regardless of what they're doing, regardless of what they're saying, regardless of what they appear to be doing or actually doing, there's always some form of deception going on. Always. The Greens will also seek a change in the process to ensure no further trade agreements could be entered into without parliamentary scrutiny and approval. And that's worked out really well for us so far, you know. Oh, the scrutiny. Oh, we needed the approval. While there were 600 businesses negotiating in secret behind closed doors, you know, it's just, But John Key, the Prime Minister, you know, former Prime Minister, should I say, after he stepped down, as soon as New Zealand got mentioned 66,000 times in the Panama paper money laundering leaks or something like that. Oh, we're not the money laundering capital of the world, really. How'd we get in $100 billion worth of debt in 8 years, John? All right. We got $8 billion in debt over the last 150 years, and you got us into $100 billion in eight. What's going on here, bro? Does it have anything to do with the fact that you're a former, like, Wall Street banker and that kind of thing? No. No, nothing to do with that whatsoever. Oh, you assure us there's no conspiracy whatsoever? Okay. Yeah, I'll believe that. Mm-hmm. It's just Former U.S. President Barack Obama introduced legislation that bound the American executive on human rights and environmental and democracy issues. Human rights, environmental, and democracy issues. It means everything that governs human behavior, everything that governs the environment, and everything that governs the humans that are trying to govern themselves in that environment. What does that sound like to me? Agenda 21, which is, again, where all these trade deals come in. All right, it's strictly for the implementation of Agenda 21. I would like to talk to the government and look into introducing law to make sure we don't have this kind of trade agreement come up again in future. Oh, well, that'd be interesting to see. She said that would mean such agreements had to enforce the social responsibilities of multinationals and ensure the protection of human rights and environmental issues. You know, just playing the card, playing the card. I mean, their leader used to work for PricewaterhouseCoopers, okay? A huge pinstripe mafia-type organization that does all these nice chartered accountancy things with the government and whatnot. Oh, mate. The list goes on. And this is a... the article's not too long. I think we can probably finish it before this hour's out. Sorry if I feel a little bit exhausted, but I don't actually want to keep continuing to talk about the TPPA. Let's go on to the next article here. 15,000 scientists issue catastrophic warning to humanity. Oh, well, 15,000 of them. It must be the majority or whatever. Couldn't be like that 48 or 50,000 scientists that signed the climate change is not entirely man-made crowd, and that we should be looking at real environmental issues like the amount of frickin' toxicity, like actual toxicity that is not necessary and detrimental to all life that we're pumping into the environment. Like, there's no tomorrow, and if we keep continuing to do so, there won't be one. You know? And all they're trying to do, really, with these climate change scares thing, is to get people to give up their rights. Okay? It's just like the drug laws. Get people to give up their rights. You know, there's the idea. Environmental pollution from filthy air to contaminated water is killing more people every year than all war and violence in the world. Now, see, there's environmental pollution. They actually started off with something that was real. But however, while they start off with something that's real and something that sounds perfectly reasonable, they'll then go into talk about how the only way that we can sign this is to like do carbon taxes or climate change or recycling or some other kind of BS. Not dismantling the enormous corporate structures around the world that are headed by psychopaths who don't care about the environment or the people that live in it and catastrophically destroy it systematically on a daily freaking basis. No, let's not do that because that might affect, I don't know, our advertisers. I mean, in large part, there's not anywhere near as much need. With the advent of the internet and the drone technology and 3D printing and so on and so forth, the centralization and mass production of any product is now rendered moot. Okay, anywhere can manufacture anything now. Okay, you have the internet, you got a 3D printer, you've got some kind of materials or whatever that you want to make. It depends on what you want to get. You can buy the raw materials and shove them into the printer and then download the specs of whatever and print a car. It doesn't matter now, right? There are vast dumps in this world that are meant only for brand new cars. Did you know that? Stretching far as the eye can see, brand new cars that are specifically kept off the market because if they flooded the market, the average price for the cars would go down. They'd rather let millions of cars rot than give them to people cheap as they made them. It strike you as something profoundly sick that only a psychopath would do? a lot of questions that we have about society. Why would somebody do that? They're a psychopath. Oh, okay. You know, it's like, you know, it's just, oh, it takes away the, whew, oh, that's much easier to understand. Thank you, Vinny. A prophetic, quote, warning to humanity, giving notice of perils facing the Earth, has been issued by more than 15,000 scientists from around the world. Climate change, see, there you go. What did I say? Was right at the top of the list. Climate change, deforestation, loss of access to fresh water because they're probably selling it to Nestle. And the deforestation is caused by McDonald's. And species extinctions and uncontrolled human population growth. Oh, yeah. So now we're going to bring in the population control agenda, the birth control and all of that kind of stuff. That's, well, it's making people sick and depressed. You know, you ever hear of cat ladies and things like that nowadays? They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. But back in the day, not so much. You know why? Because these women had husbands and kids, and they loved them and saw them grow up and things like that. And then they got a cat. But not anymore, thanks to Planned Parenthood. What was Planned Parenthood called beforehand, you ask? Well, it was called the American Eugenics Society. What's eugenics, you ask? Well, black people can't breed. Seriously, they killed 80 million black people by abortion. It's the biggest human genocide in recorded history. Right? And that's in America alone, let alone whatever else is going on. The letter, originally written in 1992, right before the Rio Earth Summit, interestingly enough, and signed by 1,500 scientists, argued human impacts on the natural world were likely to lead to vast human misery. Yeah, because vast human misery isn't going on right now. People aren't doping themselves up on psychotropic medications all the time because they're very miserable at the state of the human race. That's not happened at all. And a planet that was irretrievably mutilated, yeah, because we're the enemy. Okay, you have to make humanity the enemy. And that way, people will stop identifying with their own humanity. And they will stop showing humanity to other life forms. All right, including other people. But a quarter of a century since a majority of the world's living Nobel laureates united to sign a warning letter about the Earth, the global scientific community's view of the future is even more bleak, mostly because the people who are hyping this fear are starting to realize that there's a scam of theirs that's being exposed on a daily basis by alternative media outlets and things of that nature. You know, honest journalists who actually, you know, do this work called journalism, where you put things in context and you analyze stuff and you report to people and you just say, hey, bro, like this is what this actually means, and that's what these guys are saying. You know, it's one of my talents. I can sit here and listen to somebody spin a story for 20 minutes and tell the same story back to them in 30 seconds. And not miss out any of the important details of that story. And they'll be like, yeah, wow. I can restate things after I've heard them much better than the original person who said them could have thought to say them. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I can. These people with their BS language, convoluted linguistics, you know, it's just, if you throw a whole bunch of BS words around and blah, 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 everything starts to lose meaning. And I don't care about language that has no meaning. All right? Meaning is hard enough to find in a society this freaking shallow. You don't need people who are exposing the truth and so on and so forth to tell you what your ideal version of humanity is going to be. You can find out your own ideal human being to be, all right, with all the skills and talents that you have, etc. And that means that people who try to educate you or try to indoctrinate you or try to get you to join their clubs or their movements and their so-ons and their so-forths are trying to distract you from being you, all right? And it's not like they're trying to help you become a better you. They're simply distracting you from becoming you. right, is wise to know the difference. The people who are basically entitled, you know, they feel entitled to dispense quote unquote truth. They really actually don't care about it. You know, if they did care, inherently care about truth, about real justice and actual freedom, most of the things that they would be saying and doing would be counter to what they're already doing right now. They'd have compassion, care, and some kind of promotion of explaining and understanding things and not taking sides and telling people what to think and how to think and so on and so forth. These kind of arbiters are dangerous, very, very dangerous. I think there's nothing more horrific than the thought that somebody else is in control of your mind. All right, think about that. You listen to one particular radio show host at any one point, and you listen to it too much, you'll start to talk and think like that talk radio show host. All right? Now, do you want to be that way? Do you want to be chilled out? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have fun with life? Or do you want to be aggressive? Do you want to be repetitive? Do you want to carte blanche and categorize everything into little blocks and say, I'm against that? You know, maybe the world's a bit more complex than any one person can really put into words. And the vast majority of the time, I feel like we're being hypnotized, just freaking hypnotized. We've forgotten who we are. We are not who we are anymore. You ever notice that? You think about who you were as a child and you look at me now and you're like, I did all of these really, really stupid things. But that's not who I am anymore. It's like that. But it's in real time that the entirety of the things that we're thinking and digesting in the media and that kind of thing are actually corrupting our minds and turning us against ourselves. Right? That's a freaking scary realization that I'm coming to, man. And that means that each and every one of us is in part being programmed to be our own worst enemies, to sabotage ourselves in any number of ways. Right? Now, that's something that is being reinforced on a global level, I think. We've got all of these simultaneous global crises and this hyping of the fear, and even out of the alternative circuit too. It's always something's terrible and horrible, no good, very bad. I don't see him making any jokes. You know, it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. All I wanted to do was sit down and learn about my extermination for an hour and walk away with a grin. You know, is that too much to ask? Apart from the hole in the ozone layer, which has now been stabilized, every one of the major threats identified in 1992 has worsened. Runaway consumption of precious resources by an exploding population remains the biggest danger facing humankind, say the scientists. Yeah, because they've got hemp illegal. We could have the most technologically advanced and environmentally friendly in a year, society in a year. A year. If we really, really wanted it. But these people don't want it. They want crisis. Why? Because crisis gets us into fear mode. They go, oh, there's something very scary and terrible. Oh, you've got to be afraid. Be very afraid. And sure enough, we are. Because it's the end of the world after all. You know, oh, well, I guess it's a responsible thing to do. Abandon my reason and higher thought processes and stuff of that nature. But, you know.
Hilarious.
Hold on. We've got a guest here who's just popped in out of nowhere. It's Jim Lee. Hey, Jim, do you mind hanging up and calling back in the second hour, brother? That's in about 15 minutes' time. I'm just in the middle of the show here.
Roger, brother.
All right, cheers. Now, as I was saying, these kind of things are trying to get a fear paradigm into us, right? A fear of something that we can't actually do nothing about. Okay, so, and to illustrate that, what can you as one person do against the entirety of human activity that is causing pollution and dooming the planet? Sweet bugger all is what? Okay, and that's the idea. Now, when I say sweet bugger all, that doesn't mean that you can't do nothing. All right. And that doesn't mean that you plus another person, wind up doing three times as much as either of you could do on your own with a unique idea or a unique approach or something to that. Now that's giving people hope. That's giving people ingenuity. That's giving people a chance to make something happen, to have an effect, a positive effect on the outcome of humanity. What are they saying when they're saying 15,000 scientists from 184 countries said humans had, quote, unleashed a mass extinction event, the sixth in roughly 540 million years, where many current life forms could be annihilated or at least committed to extinction by the end of the century? What happens at the end of the century? The full and final implementation of Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, which will include a mass annihilation of the population. They are preparing us for this. Okay? Preparing us to be exterminated and to make us think like it's inevitable, like there's nothing we can do to stop it, and like it's our fault. I didn't do this. I didn't. I've got evil technology, right? Such a bad person. It doesn't matter what I do with that technology. No, I've got it. And that makes me an evil person. I've got an evil microphone and an evil computer and an evil, evil energy saver light bulb. Oh my God. And I mean that like seriously. I wish I had some different lighting in here that wasn't like a mercury filled energy saver light bulb. Not that I'm complaining. At least I've got some lighting. Most people could do with it. In their backgrounds and stuff like that. But, you know, you do what you can with what you got. And mine were donated, and I haven't seen fit to buy any more. So you do what you can with what you got, isn't it? People should eat less meat, have fewer kids, consume less, and use green technology to save the planet, the world's leading scientist urged. Now, I was finding it interesting that a whole bunch of people who are working out, you know, like how Thor gets his physique for the Marvel movies and things like that. Protein, mate. Pounds and pounds of protein a day. Just raw, chugging it back so you can be big and strong. Because your body needs the protein in order to do that. Now, we could get, you know, hemp protein and stuff like that, but that's not something these people are willing to offer because that's a solution. These people aren't interested in the solution. They're interested in mitigating factors, eating less meat, don't eat no meats, have fewer kids, don't have no kids, consume less, don't stop consuming at all, and use green energy, you know, don't stop using energy to save the planet, the world's leading scientist urged. These tiny little steps that actually add up to maybe quite a bit, but they don't actually have the effect that you want them to have. The effect that you want them to have is, say, you're eating less meat or whatever, that would be less cows and so on and so forth being consumed and blah, 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 blah. But did you know that close to 100% of the animals that we actually slaughter and things like that gets used? You know, look around you right now. I guarantee you almost 90% of the things that you're holding or wearing or built stuff out of or upholstered with or something like that is in some part made with animal products, you know. It's like the hemp plant. As soon as you pull the plant out or whatever, you've got the plants, you've got the leaves here, you've got the buds there, you've got the stalks here and all of that kind of stuff. You've got the roots down here. And every single part of it is usable, right? That's how humans do things, right? But when we're saying about eating less meat, there's no moral justification for eating meat. I know that as a meat eater. Just like cigarette smokers know there's no real justification for smoking. They just want to, or they can't stop, or they've got very stressful lifestyles or whatever. You don't know. Now, this whole use of green energy You've seen the scams that are being pilfered out there in terms of, you know, solar heating and the what's it called wind turbines and things like that. These big blights on the landscape. And they're really inefficient at creating energy as well. It's just there are so many ways of creating energy that's actually clean and uses, like, say, water, for example, the water-fueled engines. And this guy made a carburetor that got, like, 200 miles a gallon, like, in the 50s. 200 miles a gallon. I mean, the vaporizing carburetor. Go and look that stuff up, man. There's some interesting things. The technology is there, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to be living in a society that is consuming without giving back. We don't have to live in a society where to use energy is expensive, in some case prohibitive. We don't have to live in a society where there are haves and have-nots. Everything can be had by everyone. But that means that all the haves right now would have to get in line like the rest of us, and they don't want that. They want their private jet. They don't want just a free jet where everybody gets on and jumps around the world or whatever, or a free global train that travels at Mach 3 so I could, like, jump on the train station tube in Auckland and it would go under the water and then arrive in L.A. or Washington State or something like that so I can pop in and see Danny Romero from American Freedom Radio for some In-N-Out burger for lunch. You know, and be home 90 minutes later. Mate, if we could do that, people would be nice to each other because they wouldn't be fending for their lives. We're stuck in a survival loop or something like that, and people need to be aware of it. Now, here comes the last article for this hour, and I think then we're having Jim Lee join us later. Q&A with Jacinda Ardern. We have a role in taking a lead. And here we go. Oh, there's the fabulous Audrey Young from the New Zealand Herald here, who's just, I don't know, for some reason, I don't like the picture and I don't like the articles. And I read them out and make fun of them for, I don't know, maybe masochistic reasons. Maybe I'm trying to hurt myself. Jacinda Ardern is back home on Thursday after her first international summits as Prime Minister. During the flight home, policy editor Audrey Young asked her to reflect on her week away at APEC in Vietnam and the East Asia suburb in Manila. The thriller in Manila. Which leaders have got your cell phone number? See, I love this crap questioning. Which leaders have got your cell phone number? You spent a long time talking with President Moon of South Korea at one dinner. What sort of impression does he have of New Zealand? Who cares? Did you get quality time with anyone else? Who cares? Did you meet Dmitry Medvedev, the Prime Minister of Russia, at the East Asia Summit? Yes, but only briefly. Did he ask after John Key? No. He sent John Key a birthday present after a summit. She's like, really? Was there a highlight of the EAS in Manila for you? It's just all of these soft questions. And lots of them, folks. This is a huge, long, puff piece article for the benefit of the Prime Minister, you know, just sitting there looking all happy and joking away with Justin Trudeau of Canada while they both systematically sell out the country to tyranny of the TPT. Here we are. So TPP wasn't a highlight in Da Nang? It was a highlight in my wang.
There was no closure there yet. We certainly made progress, and I was pleased about that.
Oh, you're pleased about your TPP progress, weren't you? I'll bet you are. Who would have thought that trade could be so exciting?
Oh, I did learn a lot about the tricks and what was common and what was not, and the fact that there is a lot of manoeuvring close to the end, so I certainly saw that in play.
Is this my porno voice? It's going to be. Do you think you exaggerated your opposition to TPP when you were in opposition?
Nah, we were reasonably vehement about it for good reason, particularly about the foreign buyer ban, because that was important to us. But as soon as we found a resolution to that, that then gave us the space to deal with those final remaining issues and to really focus on them, and I think we did a good job of it.
Oh, I think we did a good job of it. You know, it's soulless. It's mindless, That's boring. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening through to the whole of the first hour here. And coming up in the second hour, we're going to have Jim Lee talking about a chemtrail summit that he's going to. Sorry, a geoengineering summit. Because remember, you can't call trails of chemicals chemtrails, because that makes you a conspiracy theorist. We'll see you after the break.
Institution.
American Freedom Radio.
American Survival Wholesale is a proud sponsor of the American Freedom Radio. And when you purchase quality products from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, you help support this program. Our quality non-GMO foods do not contain MSG, high fructose corn syrup, or heavy metals. At American Survival Wholesale, you can choose from over 8,000 quality products, including self-defense weapons, bug-out bags, and long-term storable food at wholesale prices. We also have custom food packs available, including gluten-free, dairy-free, and vegetarian packs. If we don't have it, you don't need it. American Survival Wholesale is a veteran-owned and operated company, which also supports our veterans in need, and we are very active in disaster relief. If you would like to become a distributor, please email us at bugoutamerica@usa.com or call 818-720-0759. We offer free consultations to answer all your questions. Do it today while things are calm. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com.
Quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, economy, savings, performance, experience, hospitality, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money back guarantee, free installation. Free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trial, and free parking. No cash, no problem, no kidding. No fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden charges, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments or interest till September. But limited time only, though, so act now, order today, send no money, offer good while supplies last, two to a customer, each item sold separately, batteries not included, mileage may vary, all sales are final, allow 6 weeks for delivery, some items not available, some assembly required, some restrictions may apply. So come on in. Come on in. Thank you. Come on in. Thank you. So come on in. Come on in for a free demonstration and a free consultation with our friendly professional staff. Our experienced and knowledgeable sales representatives will help you make a selection that's just right for you and just right for your budget. And say, don't forget to pick up your free gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet pocket pencil sharpener. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. And if you act now, we'll include an extra added free complimentary bonus gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet combination key ring, magnifying glass, and garden hose in a genuine imitation leather style carrying case with authentic vinyl trim. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. Actually, it's our way of saying bend over just a little bit farther.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Provide us for free education?
Well, that's obviously effective, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, man?
Exploiting commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does.
Well, they never sent so hung up or cut off their guests.
Well, that's no fun, is it?
Oh, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shills and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
Launch sequence initiated.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Delete to remove the old out.
Hang on, we're going to go with good fire. Right, you got
one, three,
and
two, one.
Engage. Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgotten.
Levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for the that comforting sort of commentary that you do need before you go to sleep at night, you know, because you're like, you know, I just don't think I'm going to get a good night's sleep if I don't hear about my ruthless criminal enslavement and subsequent experimentation by psychopaths, you know. It's just that I can't sleep peacefully without a little bit of Vinnie Eastwood at the end of the night. I don't know what it is. See, I know that it happens to you. I know there's a good reason for it, because ultimately a lot of the things that we talk about are so scary and so horrific and so real and visceral in their nature that because of the very fact that we're going through what we're going through, we need something to release the tension. Some use masturbation, others use the Vinnie Eastwood Show, but there you go. My very special guest is from climateviewer.com, the author of Climate Viewer News, Jim Lee, no relation to Bruce. Jim, welcome to the program.
How do you know? It's like a finger pointing away to the moon.
What's up, Vinny? That's a Bruce Lee thing.
Because I am like water, my friend. Sometimes like water, I can crash, and sometimes I can flow.
My favorite Bruce Lee quote ever, bite me.
It's such a pleasure having you on the show. Now, we do want to get into this geoengineering debate here that's going on. Like, what do you mean, debate? Is there actually some kind of debate going on here, right? But in either case, I do want to get a little bit of background on you, Jim, and how you got to this, you know, point in your career, as it were.
Okay, so like I'd say probably around 2010 I started my activism, and before that I was known as Resonated, R-E-Z-N-A-D, resonated.com. I created a map called the Radiation Database, and I basically mapped out every nuclear reactor on the planet, all the ionospheric heaters like HARP and missile defense radars, laser beams, oh my. And I put all of these into a Google Earth file called the Radiation Database. And then naturally I wanted people to download it. And then I got, tried to make a map to show it off. So I learned to program, and then I needed to make a website to put that map on. So I learned to do websites, and my goodness, 7 years later, it's turned into a big wet mess. And I have three websites. ClimateViewer.com is my blog, and that is Climate Viewer News, where I map pollution, privacy, and propaganda, and the three are intimately related. ClimateViewer.org, where I created a 3D globe called Climate Viewer 3D. It's a way to see everything going on in the world simultaneously, live. You got satellites, earthquakes, fires, lightning, volcanoes, everything that could impact your life in a significant way, live on the internet in one spot. Plus, all of my previous maps that I created, the NSA map of the Five Eyes and every single spy facility in the world, surface-to-air missiles worldwide, 800,000 fracking wells, 1.2 million cell phone towers, and the list goes on, but 455 maps just on climateviewer.org. And then finally, weathermodificationhistory.com. And this is my all-inclusive one-page. If you don't know about weather control and you go to weathermodificationhistory.com, it will blow your freaking mind. Because in there you can find 500 newspaper articles from the 1800s to present, meticulously recrafted to look like the originals from the Google News, and other sources. You can see patents, programs, maps of geoengineering and weather modification, cloud seeding. It's a weathermodificationhistory.com. I see you there. here, I'll drop you a link in chat in just a second. But yeah, weathermodificationhistory.com is the most extensive on the planet. And, we have a little special thing going on there. There's a timeline, and in that, you can actually see, you know, chronologically organized for your educational bliss, all of the major projects from the 1800s to present, you know, like Project Cameo, where they were dumping barium clouds over Alaska, Operation Popeye, where the U.S. Air Force was modifying weather over Vietnam, Project Nile Blue, where the CIA was destroying sugar crops over Cuba in a rain embargo, many, many projects you've never heard of, all organized meticulously by myself and Dominic Marama. This is my co-conspirator. He is the Robin to my Batman. And we saved the world over there on weathermodificationhistory.com. So the three of these combined to form Voltron in me, that I remember everything I wrote on them because I wrote them. I did the graphics, the coding, and everything. I want to take all of this collective knowledge and go to the Weather Modification Conference this year and tell the geoengineers themselves that enough is enough, and I have a proposed solution to the secretive world of weather modification, geoengineering, rogue geoengineering, and weather warfare, and I call it the Environmental Modification Accountability Act of 2018. And it's basically an add-on to the NMOD law, which is a weather warfare ban that was passed in 1978. So what I'm here today to promote is that I'm doing a trip to the American Meteorological Society's 98th annual meeting. And at that meeting in Austin, Texas, will be a conference called the 21st Conference on Planned and Inadvertent Weather Modification. At that will be, you know, hundreds of cloud seeding scientists, weather modification experts, and geoengineers. They will be presenting for 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I've already got my ticket to attend all of those presentations. I will be allowed to ask questions at the end of each of those presentations, and the American Meteorological Society has already given me permission to film anything I want except the presentations. The presentations themselves will be recorded by the AMS and available after the event is done. So you will be able to hear me in there giving questions just on their website, and I hope to be filming my interactions with these scientists and getting some response from them and hopefully some support on our law. And the idea is pretty simple. I've already got five geoengineers to say not only is this a good idea, it's necessary. So what I want to do is get a whole bunch of geoengineers basically to sign a little petition and say, you know what, we agree. It's time that we end the secretive world of weather modification, geoengineering, weather warfare, space weather modification, ionospheric heating, and all of that. And I propose a two-step solution. One, give me a 48-hour notice before you modify the weather so that we can tell what your intention is and where you're going to do it and what you what you're going to do. So if you create a storm that creates a tornado and kills somebody, we can hold you to account in court. But we all know that there are liars and there are secret programs, secret, this and that. So we have to account for that. So how do we protect ourselves from weather warfare and rogue geoengineering? We create a worldwide sensor network, which I have already begun to build on climateviewer.org. It gathers all of the sensors of the world, puts them in one place so that we can monitor all things at one time. And I want to create a box to go in your backyard called the Climate Viewer. And it goes either on your roof or in the backyard, and it has a camera pointed at the sky. It can videotape the sky in your backyard, stream it live to the internet, display it on climateviewer.org so that there's a little dot in your backyard and anybody can click on it and see what the sky looks like overhead. It can also detect atmospheric aerosols, meaning that if a nuclear power plant blew up near you or was spewing radiation, you'd be the first to know, and then we'd be the second to know instantaneously. So what I'm proposing is a two-step solution. Transparency up front, verification on the rear. The reason I'm doing this is because this is very similar to what happened in nuclear explosions. They banned upper atmospheric nuclear explosions back in the 50s. And then it wasn't until 1994 with the START Treaty that they created an international monitoring system that could detect the faint vibrations of nuclear explosions. That way, whenever Kim Jong, whatever his name is, fires off a nuclear bomb in North Korea, we instantly know because seismographs, infrasound recorders, and satellites detect those vibrations. So when they do that, we instantaneously know there was a nuclear explosion, there was a violation of the thing, and that's the point of this. Even though weather warfare is banned, even though the United Nations banned weather warfare in 1978, it was called the Environmental Modification Convention. The long version of it was the Convention for the Prohibition of the Hostile Use of Environmental Technologies. Environmental modification technologies. Thank God they shortened that to NMOD, E-N-M-O-D. So if you will go to climateviewer.com/ENMOD, NMOD, you can read about my solution. That's what you got up on the screen there. You can read about my solution. I have a 5-minute video explaining what my solution is, what my message to the geoengineers will be. In addition to that, I created a new article called 10 Technologies to Own the Weather Today. It is on that same article, and you will see an infographic with 10 listed technologies that you can own the weather today. And that is a reference to the Owning the Weather in 2025. That's it right there. Own the Weather in 2025 documents from the U.S. Air Force, where they were talking about how to weaponize weather by the year 2025, and the specific gist that you want to take from that paper is allow universities and corporate scientists to study weather modification, collect all of their research, use it to make weapons. So my goal in going to this conference, if people will support me on this GoFundMe, is to deliver a message of hope, a possible solution, and to protect us from weather warfare. We know based on history that in the 70s, the United States and Air Force and CIA were engaged in weather warfare. We have documented proof of it and a weather warfare ban that occurred as a result. What everybody won't admit today is that Russia, China, and America still have these technologies. They're far more advanced and they're far more deadly. When Secretary of Defense William Cohen says others are engaged in an eco type of terrorism whereby they can dominate the climate with, by creating earthquakes and volcanoes and set them off remotely using electromagnetic radiation. That's the Secretary of Defense saying you can use HARP, ionospheric heaters, and microwaves to blow up volcanoes, set off earthquakes, and rain embargoes, weather warfare have been used in the 70s. And today, President Ahmadinejad of Iran says the European Union is stealing their rain. And it hit 156 degrees in Iran. And just the other day, a 7.0 earthquake hit the border of Iraq and Iran in sub-zero temperatures. It's bad. So that's my solution. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you got any questions there, Vinny?
Not as such, right? Just think about this, though. If you're going into a conference and the irony is you're getting to not film any of the speakers speak, right? They want to retain exclusive publishing rights, I assume, after they've been edited?
I imagine that won't be the case, and I can assure you it won't be the case, because even if I'm not allowed to record and put it on the internet, you can bet your bottom button that I'm going to have a recorder on me. So, I mean, I'm going to review the footage of all this, and my questions better be in there, because if they're not, I will Title 17 the hell out of that and put it on the internet anyway. They know me. So that's not an issue for me personally. I'm going to be there. I'm going to hear everything they got to say, and I remember just about everything I hear or read. So I'm going to, you know, like I said, they're going to record it. All of the presentations will be available afterwards. And hopefully, you know, when I play it back and I compare it to my notes, they will not have edited. Because if they do, boy, you know I'm going to play all the stuff they edit out. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I'm a very open source kind of guy. So I'm sure they're not going to try to pull a fast one like that with me in the house.
Yeah. Unless, of course, they listen to the radio show and know that you're going to have some kind of recording device there and take it off you before you do it. But you know.
You make excellent point. That's why you have another one and another one. Seuss Valens is hard, man.
Yeah, let's hope they didn't hear the second part of the show. Now, the element that I want to actually really get into here is the denial aspect. Okay, so people are in blanket denial that any kind of weather modification really of any kind is going on at any time, regardless, you know, if they don't know about, oh, the government would tell us. But the problem is that no, they don't tell you. But they're required to. I know, but they're still not telling you. All right.
They are not required to. I mean, it depends on your country. Now, in America, because of what we did in the weather warfare stuff, because Jack Anderson found out about it, the reporter, saw a note on Lyndon Johnson's desk, Senator Claiborne Pell had three hearings, two of which are on my website. The third is still classified to this day. Because of all that, they actually had a 780-page document put out that basically was like a full disclosure. Everything the government's been doing for the last 50 years. And you wouldn't believe some of the stuff in there. And here's the irony of it. It's called Weather Modification Problems, Programs, and Potential, something like that. Anyway, it's like 700 pages long, and all of the chemtrail websites say, this is proof of chemtrails. And there is no mention at all of using jet aircraft to make clouds at all in that paper. Just vague references to pollution issues. So people don't even understand what that paper is, but that paper came as a result of all of these disclosures that happened because of what the U.S. did over Vietnam. Then they passed a law called the Weather Modification Reporting Act of 1976, followed up by another weather modification policy. But regardless, they passed laws back in 76 that say if you modify the weather in America, you must report it to the Department of Commerce and NOAA. And you could actually, 2 years ago, the forms were still on corporateservices.noaa.gov's website. I have backups of all these files. But there's two forms that you have to fill out, one before you modify the weather and one while you're modifying it. So it's an initial report and an interim report on weather modification activities. You can get both of these from my website. So in America, you have to do that on a federal level, but on a state level, I have another article, if you scroll down on weathermodificationhistory.com where you were just at, where it says laws, just past the section you're on, scroll down right there, laws. If you see that, that's weather modification laws in America. And what you'll see is that each state has different laws. And one of the ones that really stand, and I've got the worldwide laws at the top, but and the federal reporting laws are right there. Those are the ones I was just referring to, initial report, and the other one are right there. And they're available on my Scribd. So if you want to see those, that's the two forms, initial report right there. Yeah, the two right underneath that where you're at. Next one down, go down, that right there. Click that. That's the two forms that you have to fill out in America if you're going to modify the weather. So these are the laws in America regarding reporting to the government. Now, I have the reports from NOAA. They're not available on websites. Had to call NOAA. But I've mapped out all of the NOAA reports. This form you're seeing right here, everybody that filled one out from 2002 to 2012, I have all of those reports on climateviewer.org in a map in the weather modification section. So you can actually see who filled out this report, gave it to the government. I got the reports, put it into a map, bam. Now, that doesn't account for everything because there are a lot of exemptions. And if you look at the weather modification reporting laws in the state of Washington, not Washington, D.C., Washington, you'll see that there are exemptions. And one of those exemptions is for universities. Yeah, I mean, they have exemptions for universities and stuff. What does it say there?
It says, the department, to the extent it deems practical, should provide by regulation for exempting from license, permit, and liability requirements, one, research and development and experiments by state and federal agencies, institutions of higher learning, and bona fide non-profit research organizations. Oh, so they can research and experiment.
So any one of those three is just one, is just section one, and they don't even have to tell you.
And on to two, laboratory research and experiments. Three, activities of an emergent character or protection against fire, frost, sleet, or fog. And four, activities normally engaged in for purposes other than those inducing, increasing, decreasing, or preventing precipitation or hail. So basically, you have to follow all these laws unless you don't
all
want
of
to.
That. Yeah, exactly. So that's the truth of the matter. I mean, it's pretend. It's all of this, you know, bullshit legislation. It means nothing. It is slave speak by definition. It has no meaning at all. Any NGO, I mean, is serious? Any institution of higher learning? Climate Viewer News is an institution of higher learning. Does that mean I can go modify the weather in Washington and not have to tell anybody, or are they going to throw my ass in jail?
I don't know.
I don't know either. So it's a very gray area, right?
It depends if you're connected to some kind of banking syndicate or not.
Ain't that the truth? Oh, wait a minute. You're J.P. Morgan's on people's?
Just take
do
a
your
stand
thing, dog. Do your thing, dog. It's true. I mean, I agree with you, Vinny. The thing I love about you most is you keep laughing through all this. And the opposite of fear porn, the opposite of demoralization is to be able to laugh at the craziness of all this. And that's my motto too. So we share that in common, that I try to keep it light, and cause it's a very heavy subject to think about the fact that, you know, every single inch of this world has somebody controlling that airspace. Over water wars, or, you know, economic warfare, Russia, China, and America in a tug of war, pretending it's climate change and blaming us for our car farts, you know, it's insanity. So that's kind of why I'm doing what I'm doing, is like I take the big picture. I look at the technology. I look at who does it, who is behind it, who be doing what. And I've tried to map it all out so that I can see the big picture. And I have all of this memorized, as what you can clearly see. Everything I just told you, you were pulling it up, and there it was. I'm going to take all that and go to the weather mod place. And the interesting thing is this. Have you ever seen the Consumer Electronics Show, where they have the new games every year. You mean
the one where they bring out all the new stuff that's like really scary looking technology and they're like, buy this, it's going to be great for your consumers.
Yeah, they're like, check out the new VR headset, and people are like falling over and, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, so this conference I'm going to is similar to that, but replace it with weather nerds. So there'll be like booths with people selling radar and, you know, some, you know, climate change, NGO, Sierra Club floating around there, all that, you know, stuff. Head of the National Weather Service, head of the Storm Prediction Center, they'll all be walking around with their little NOAA things on and NASA.
I was
NASA
just thinking about it. You could make some extra money there if you sell some umbrellas.
I'm gonna pass. I might need a license for that. But what I plan on doing is that infographic I made with the 10, you know, technologies, I'm gonna print it out so it's about a foot and a half wide. And I'm gonna laminate the damn thing so that when I'm up there and I meet this, you know, I imagine it's gonna go like this. I'm gonna see this dude and he's like, "Hey, I'm Tedster from Texas. KNTV News, meteorologist, I'm the shit," you know? And I'm going to say, "Yeah, you know about chemtrails?" And he's going to start with this pompous-ass attitude like I normally catch from these meteorologists on Facebook right before I thoroughly embarrass them. The difference is on Facebook they can run away or they can just laugh it off, but in front of their colleagues they can be made to be look very stupid very quickly. And for me, I have the beauty of being able to remember citations. So, like, I get these scientists, and of course, at first they think that they've got, you know, me all canned up here, the redneck accent, and think, Suddenly, 5 seconds later, they're feeling very small and insignificant because they didn't know anything I just said. And that's what I intend to do, is go down there and say, "Look, guys, I know all 10 of these technologies. I know who make them. I know their entire history. I know how they work. Test me. I dare you." So, since you believe me that I know what these are and you're willing to listen, here's my solution. And by the way, we the people of the internets, we're tired of your shit. And we know what you've been up to. It's on weathermodificationhistory.com. I'd like you to knock it off. Tell us when you're doing it beforehand, because you're obviously not going to stop. You're addicted. You know? They're addicted. They call it climate intervention. The person who needs an intervention is these damn climate changers. To be honest.
My name's Ted Tedson, and I'm a climate changer.
I'm a climate changer. I just can't help it, man. I love steering hurricanes. It just gets me off.
Hi, Ted.
Hi, Ted.
and there's like a 10-step program from ionospheric heating all the way to water vapor pollution recovery.
It starts with, "I promise to go out and plant trees and stop talking about CO2 scrubbing artificial trees. I'm gonna plant a real tree." Oh my God. Yeah, they're in like La La Land, and basically, I don't know if you're probably familiar with this. You've heard of technocracy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so these climatards, they're all technocrats, and they really just see this as some, you know, scientific solution that could be handled by, you know, the board, and they'll just, you know, divvy out rain to whoever deserves it, you know, and they're literally writing laws on a global basis right now, Solar Radiation Management Governance Initiative, to figure out how to pay the dead people. Because when they spray the world with sulfuric acid, titanium, aluminum, calcium, diamond dust, yellow freaking lollipops, when they spray the world with that stuff, it's going to alter rainfall patterns worldwide. And it's going to go like this. The models say, just like when the Mount Pinatubo eruption happened, the thing that they're trying to mimic, that the southern hemisphere dries up. And the northern hemisphere, where all the white people are, gets wetter. Yay! So is this really about changing the temperature and regulating, you know, staving off CO2 so we don't global warming our ass into oblivion? Or is this really about controlling water? Because it seems to me like if what you say you're going to do is going to steal all the water from the southern hemisphere, give it to the northern hemisphere, you know it, and you're trying to talk about how to pay the dead people. Climate change didn't kill people. You killed people. And these guys are sick.
Yeah. That's what happens when you join a cult. And how do you know you're in the cult? They treat you very nicely, and they give you compliments, and they tell you how smart you are for being there. And then they ask you to pay a membership fee of some description and get you to agree that you want the certain outcome. And after you've agreed that you want that certain outcome, that's when they ask you to start doing other things, like recruiting for them or speaking for them at certain engagements and things of that nature. And then they'll start telling you that's a very good idea to start poo-pooing and attacking anybody else who's within the cult who's starting to question it at all. And tell them to pull their heads in and start towing the line.
I think a wise man once say,
do not question my authority.
Cartman, no?
I got it. what happens here is that we don't know that we're part of a cult, all right? And I think a lot of us in the truth movement don't realize that we've actually become part of various cults of personality and modes of thinking about political dialogue and things of that nature, whereas we don't have a holistic and an individual perspective anymore. We're actually trying to create ourselves little groups and things like that and all come together on these particular issues, when the reality is, when you're looking at the work of, say, Jim Lee and one other guy, you're talking about two guys who've actually done a composite work of geoengineering and various other events, unlike anybody else in the history of the planet, right? And you think to yourself, maybe joining groups isn't quite as important as figuring out what you want to do with yourself and your being.
That's so true. Dude, keep preaching, man. I'm just going to kick back and listen to this.
I'm done.
You're okay, good. I stumbled upon something called Slave Speak, and it's on the sidebar of every page. If you scroll up just a hair, you'll see it there. But it's basically a guy with a little TV shooting himself in the head on the sidebar right there under that. Perfect right there. And there's a quote there by Carl Sagan that pretty much sums this up, you know, about the bamboozle. And it, you know, it's basically that, you know, once you believe a bamboozle for long enough, you cannot unbelieve it. Like, it's painful. People don't want to unbelieve it. And this is part of a slave speak mentality. And what it is, and I call it the annihilation of mental colonization. You know, shout out the Immortal Technique. It's an amazing thing to realize that something like the word chemtrail can actually mean many different things to many different people. And then you realize that and you go, wait a minute. So when you're saying chemtrail, you don't mean like depopulation chemtrail. You mean like mind control chemtrail? No, dude, I'm talking about aliens with orbs and they're putting nanobots. And if you, it's coming out of the planes and pumping them out. Okay, that kind of chemtrail. Gotcha. Talk to the next guy. What are you talking about? Barium and aluminum, dog, spraying it every day. And I'm like, amen. They spraying them chemtrails with sounding rockets and jet, you know, fuel. It's a bitch. Cause aluminum and barium are in jet fuel. 9,300 parts per billion in JP8. Bad. Cause Alzheimer. Ooh, hate it. Aluminum and barium have been dumped out of sounding rockets for 60 years in space. And they heat them with ionospheric heaters, like in the infographic there. You see the rocket go up. It sprays out the aluminum and barium out the back of it. A microwave beam heats that up. They modify the ionosphere. The reason they spray the chemicals in space is because the ionosphere is invisible. You can't see the Van Allen belts till you spray some metal in it. And guess what? That shit is magnetic. So it sticks to the Van Allen belts. It actually sticks to those ribbons in the sky. They're called magnetic field lines. And because they stick to the magnetic field lines, they race along them back to the ground. And that lets them model what does the ionosphere look like right now. And then the military says, well, that's completely freaking wrong. Make it like this. And then the guys up there at HARP or the mobile ionospheric heaters or the ionospheric heaters they have on satellites, they correct it. And that's what's going on a global scale. Macro corrections of our ionosphere to control radio waves on a global scale. The Russians said that HARP can make region-wide headaches. And they weren't bullshitting, because if you create ELF waves, these actually can go to the bottom of the ocean. They travel through bone and stone. So these frequencies are so low that they can see underground structures. They can reflect them off the moon. No shit. And they can, when they shoot them underground, they can collect them with something called HALO, the HARP LOFAR array. And LOFAR is this low frequency array. It's the size of Europe. It is on top of Europe. It covers all of Europe. And there are these little low frequency listening posts that basically HARP can make a big thump. Like, you know, you ever heard somebody with their car stereo and you can hear their ass coming a mile away?
Yeah.
Same. Low frequencies, they endure for great distances and they pass through solid objects. You can't hear the higher frequencies like the tweeter. You know what I mean? Till they just get close to you. But these low frequencies, when they travel through the ground, they change. And as they change, when they hit a void or a big open spot, supercomputers can collect that and see them so that they can see underground caves under China and Iran where they have nuclear bombs and where they're building nuclear bombs. It's called tomography. So they literally use the sky as a subwoofer to create low frequency waves to look underground for nuclear reactors and nuclear, you know, chemical weapons factories and, you know, just look underground. Well, guess what happens when you look underground with high powered ELF waves?
It shakes the ground and causes earthquakes.
Right? I mean, you are promoted. You are suddenly a rocket scientist. Oh, wait, a HARP scientist. And I'll mail you your PhD, dude. You are smart.
Yeah, right. It's like, hey, here's a really brilliant idea. What? Let's cause earthquakes where they're manufacturing nuclear weapons. You know, I just don't see what could possibly go wrong.
You tell that to the Bashir nuclear site. Oh wait, that was a virus. Never mind, Stuxnet. Sorry, wrong one. Yeah. Anyway, they love blowing up.
Fukushima, right? A lot of people have been wondering about that, about whether or not that was a HARP attack. What do you reckon, bro? Just off the top of my head or something. If you don't want to answer it, let's move to the next question.
I would love to answer it. I have not been asked this one in a while. It's probably been 3 years, and I've learned a lot more about it since. It's really crazy. All right, so here we go.
That's not a good sign.
It's a very cool story. So we're going to do HARP before the egg. All right. With Fukushima, we did have a 9.0 earthquake, and the ionosphere heated before that earthquake. This is how the science goes. The excuse, the explanation, the scientific community say is earthquake lights or rainbow clouds or ionospheric heating above earthquakes. All three things can happen. They're called earthquake lights, earthquake clouds. They look like rainbow clouds. They appear above.
Did they by chance make these turns up before or after HARP was invented and tested?
I would say after, but let's finish the story, the official story. We're going to stick with the official story first, and then I'm going to tell you the truth. So the official story is earthquakes have a pre-release of radiation because the crust is cracking underground and radiation is escaping through the ground. And as it escapes to space, it is visible in clouds and the ionospheric heating above. And I say that if you have something called an ionospheric heater and you see the ionosphere heat before an earthquake, I'm thinking it's the ionospheric heater like everybody else on the planet, because it's a no freaking brainer. So the question is, like, I think it was Benjamin Fulford. Ben Fulford was the one who originated this theory.
He called me on the day of the quake, actually. He just, like, interrupted me, like, on air while I was interviewing a guest who they kind of got shuffled into the background.
Okay. Well, I read that, and I, like I said, I remember all this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, this is like 2012, I remember reading. 2011, right after it had happened, I remember reading Ben Fulford stuff. And I was like, yep, you know, and, but do you know the why? I mean, this is the thing that I want to know if it's true. I have never validated it, but I was told that the reason why Japan was hit with a 9 and all of this stuff is because the Japanese government had found the U.S. government, specifically the U.S. military, guilty of war crimes in Iraq. For using depleted uranium on the battlefield. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that in Fallujah, there are babies with three eyes. I know that my neighbor came back with radiation poisoning. I know many people, and I think this numbers are pretty scary. There was 500,000 deployed, and at least 250,000 of them are dead. From self-inflicted or whatever help, they're killing themselves in massive numbers regardless.
Well, this is the Veterans Administration applies them full of psychotropic drugs that have the side effect known as murder-suicide, predominantly with their patients that have PTSD, because it's actually cheaper to have them die or kill themselves than to get them better and send them back, or just to continue taking care of them and the damage that they've suffered by serving for the rest of their life.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it at all. You know, I actually went in the military and I never made it out of basic. And when I left basic training, the military agreed with me that I was never there. And we're going to leave it at that. But some ill shit went down, some illegal shit went down at basic training, and I was right in the middle of it. But regardless, I found out very quickly that that was not for me, and I'm still patriotic. So crossed up, whatever. But,
well, it's like Jefferson said, bro. It's a patriot's duty to protect his country from his government.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, that's been my role. Like, it's kind of ironic. I went into the Air Force to do spy satellite optics, and I was going to work in a lab, you know, basically looking at Google Earth, spying on people. So what I end up doing? Wrote my own damn map. I spy on everybody and I put it on there.
Whoa. So the military trained you how to spy on the military and you've now done it.
We never officially got there. I mean, full story, I got a 98 out of a 98 on my ASVAB. So since I got a perfect score, I could choose whatever job I wanted, and I wanted a computer job. So then they were like, well, that's another test. So I took the computer test and it was like, which one of these objects does not, you know, belong? And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is not what I thought this test would be. And apparently I was like 2 points short for the computer test. You gotta be kidding me. So I didn't get in the computer section. They're like, pick from this list. And I was like, that sounds the coolest. It'll be in a lab. I'll be working with computers and yada yada. So my tech school would have been 3.5 years. And I would have been an officer when I came out because I had 3 years ROTC and, you know, because of this position, it would have been OTS and all that. So I would have been an officer by the time I got out of tech school and sitting in there with a top secret clearance, you know, spying on people, you know, humping goats in the hills of Afghanistan.
It would have just been OTT.
I mean, seriously, it would have been a pretty cool job, but at the same time, like, you know, it just, you know, you never know how life's going to throw you a curveball. You know what I mean? So, and I think, you know, I'm going to get all Garth Brooks and, you know, thank God for unanswered prayers. Cause if that hadn't happened, I would have been in that lab and I wouldn't be with my beautiful wife and have my two amazing daughters, and my life is perfect. So I can't be happier about the decisions I've made. And, you know, that's why I do it. You know, I've got that patriot in me, you know, that revolutionary. And apparently I wasn't ready to say yes, sir, that effing often.
Yeah. If one of the things that the New World Order is trying to do is actually extinguish people's sense of patriotism, because you know who really doesn't like ending national sovereignty and being enveloped into an enslaved world government? Patriots.
You know the truth. If you're a patriot, they put you on a list and monitor you closely.
Hmm. Not to learn off you, but just to make sure you're not doing anything too naughty or too risque. And if you are, mate, I remember this guy, he did an article about how the CIA can hack into your brand new car's computer and make you do an incredibly hard turn out of nowhere. A day or two after releasing that article, that guy driving along a straight road did a left turn, a hard left turn, directly into a tree. I guess he didn't see that coming.
He should have really changed cars. I mean, if I were that guy, I'd be getting the Volkswagen Beetle so damn fast.
I don't know. It's just what that spoke of to me is that a lot of the time that we study a lot of what we're dealing with, we forget that we actually really don't know what we're dealing with, you know, because a lot of things, if you're a good man, for example, there's a lot of evil things that bad men will do that wouldn't even occur to you. And every moment that you think that you're getting more familiar with your enemy, they do something that surprises you. And not something that surprises you, just in a, oh, wow, he surprised me. It's kind of something that shocks you in a, I cannot believe I'm seeing what I'm seeing kind of way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised anymore. I was a prison guard, and I worked with, you know, Hawaiian inmates. There was 460 of them, and they were all lifetime inmates. They had been at another prison, burned it down, and killed four officers, and then came to the middle of the Arizona desert where I was, and they were being housed by Corrections Corporation of America, the private prisons everybody talks about. I worked in it. And let me tell you, son, that is the craziest thing job I ever had in my life. And I mean, I had seven separate attempts on my life, you know, blades swinging in my face. The last time the blade literally touched my eyelash. So I went to my car. I prayed a lot and I said, God, I think you have given me as clear a sign that you can only be so lucky for so long. And I am fast, and I can handle my, you know, self, and I think I've proved that by now. I should leave. So we left and went, you know, from Arizona back to South Carolina fast as I effing could.
bro. You could have ended up as a big kahuna burger.
Oh, man. He could – dude, that could – the guy, he was – I can't say names, but he was 400 pounds, and he was on psych meds. We're outside in the hallway, and the guy next to me says, you know, screw that guy. You know he's crazy, right? And I'm like, he hasn't taken his meds for 2 days. And the guy's pushing a buffer, you know, like buffing the hall. And before he finished that sentence, that dude's elbow hit him in the head. And his head, he was leaned up against the wall. And when I'll never forget the sound. There was very little left of the dude's face. And this 400-pound man literally hit him in the head and then came across at me. And I, you know, pretty much tripped underneath him and got him pinned back and held him for 3 minutes while stabbing him in the neck while hitting my man down button, screaming bloody murder. Yeah, with my thumb. I was stabbing him with my thumb, just to be very clear. So I had him one hand on the chin. My knee was in his back. His arms were out. You know what I mean? He was like bent over my knee and I was stabbing him in the throat while missing my man down button. Anyway, they put me on the CCA training video. It said 170-pound man subdues 400-plus-pound inmate. Anyway, so
something to be proud of, you know.
It is. It really is. I've never told that story on the air, but
see, they never put the video in it. This is why you don't have your inmates on medications in the first place, you know. And this is why you feed them really well, nutritious food and give them people to look up to and respect that command respect and can defend themselves, because that way their behavior starts to get copied by the inmates.
Yeah, but you know, in CCA's defense, like that, I worked in a state prison as well. And as much as, you know, like I see the inherent wrongness of corporation prison, you know what I mean? The for-profit side of it and the American Legislative and Economic Council literally went and wrote draft legislation, SB 1070, so that they could get the cops in Arizona to check people's IDs so they could put more immigrants in more CCA prisons. Now, that's a vicious circle I don't approve of. Mm-hmm. And that's messed up. But as far as the inmates being treated professionally, the comparison between what I saw in CCA and what I saw in the state prison here in South Carolina. All right. I'll give you one example and let's not talk about prisons anymore. We had a cell extraction in CCA. I had a team. We all put on body armor. We had five guys. You grab a head, you grab arm, leg, leg. And the sixth man was a captain or sergeant because they had a video camera in one hand and a pepper spray can in the other hand. That way, the entire thing was recorded, everything was done properly, and if the guy didn't comply, he was coming out. And we had a very clear plan on how to do it so that the inmate wasn't hurt and so we weren't hurt. And I mean, I've gone into these cell extractions, had feces thrown in my face. You won't believe the kind of thing you have to do. So anyway, I come to South Carolina, same thing. We're getting ready to do a cell extraction. I look at the assistant warden, and she's an old black lady, goes, go get him. I swear to God, that is what she said to me. I said, what's our policy here? Because I'm, you know, I'm new. I know you've been working in a prison before. You know what to do. I said, all right, well, what's the policy here, though? Like, how do we do this? She said, you know, just go get them. And so there's some really strange things going on in prisons. I'll never, ever work in one again. It was a hell of an experience. But, yeah, I mean, like, I would hate to be in a state prison. I'd hate to be in a CCA prison. Never intend to go near them again.
Yeah, and that's from somebody who wasn't even on the inside.
I know, dude. No, you don't get it twisted. If you are anybody who works in a corrections facility is a prisoner, and they will tell you that. You don't understand how it affects you. Hearing a murderer talk about how they did what they did, and then having to see that same man crying because his kid, you know, just graduated or his wife just, you know, remarried or whatever. Seeing them then and then having to have compassion, you know, and it's natural. You have compassion for these. You constantly feel sorry for these people, even though. So it's a very, you know, Stockholm syndrome inducing, post-traumatic stress inducing environment. And I feel for anybody that has to work there. In any one of those facilities. Anyway,
you just described my entire philosophy on how sorry I feel for everybody who has to do everything that they don't want to. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a school teacher or getting into politics or you're a cop or you're starting a law career or you're doing sales or you're in retail. It doesn't matter. Everything's become a broader sense of prison, including, as it now turns out, being a prison guard.
Well, I think that – but I would just give it the caveat that there's a special – kind of individual that can be a cop and do sex crimes or do child, you know, crimes. You follow where you actually have to sit there and watch the video. And I want you to think about a person who's done that for 25 years and how much weight that causes on a person. There are special people who can do that. My hat's off to them. I personally have, I'm apparently very thick on the outside and I can, you know, handle my own, but I'm squishy on the inside and I feel a lot. So it's not the place for me is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to crush my soul by being there. So this is why I do activism the way I do, you know, as a Boy Scout ROTC, this is my thing. You know, like I want to, help the world, do my daily turn and I have fun doing this. And for me, studying the topic of weather control specifically, it really is a game changer for people who talk about climate change. You can't talk about extreme weather events without talking about who's making them or the potential that they are, like the climate changers. So that's
funny,
why
That the people come out and go, oh, climate change is going to make the weather worse. It's going to be really, really bad. And then they go and make the weather bad. And then they go, see,
you didn't listen to us.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, like they're going to blame us for CO2 causing all these extreme weather events. There's been 100 years of weather control on a worldwide basis with no accountability, no transparency. So that's why I've got this solution, the Environmental Modification Accountability Act of 2018. That's why I want to go to the American Meteorological Society's meeting and tell them, you know, hey, dude, enough's enough. It's time to change this situation. Give us some accountability. Let us know in advance, you know, and we're going to build a sensor network. We expect you to do the same. So my whole hope here is that the government can say, get all of the world. You know, if the weather in Zimbabwe, the weather in Mozambique, get it all, put it in one place, make it available real time from the government and the universities, you know, all that stuff you guys have. But we're going to make a citizen powered network also, and we're going to combine the two to catch people who mess with the weather. If we don't do this, people will continue to die. You know, disaster capitalists will be able to make event contracts and bet on weather derivatives on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and bet on your weather and then change it. That should be, I mean, the fact that there is stock market is the CME group, Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Yeah. So yeah, please support my trip, man. Vinny, I really appreciate you going there. It's on climateviewer.com/nmod, link at the top of the page, dude. Thank you for having me, bro.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Donate at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Quality products from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You help support this program. Our quality non-GMO foods do not contain MSG, high fructose corn syrup, or heavy metals. At American Survival Wholesale, you can choose from over 8,000 quality products, including self-defense weapons, bug-out bags, and long-term storable food at wholesale prices. We also have custom food packs available, including gluten-free, dairy-free, and vegetarian packs. If we don't have it, you don't need it. American Survival Wholesale is a veteran-owned and operated company which also supports our veterans in need, and we are very active in disaster relief. If you would like to become a distributor, please email us at bugoutamerica@usa.com or call 818-720-0759. We offer free consultations to answer all your questions. Do it today while things are calm. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology. They have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network, and we just need that so much.
Nicotine, alcohol, good drugs. Coincidentally, tax drugs. Ooh, how does this work? Thank God they're taxing alcohol, man. It means we got those good roads we can drive on. Because I'll tell you something, I'll be honest, man. If I were going to legalize a drug, it sure wouldn't have been alcohol. Sorry, there's better drugs and better drugs for you. That's a fact. Pot is a better drug than alcohol. Fact. Fact. Stop your internal dialogue. Baby, alcohol's on. Shut up! You're wrong. Get over it. I'll prove it to you, man. You're at a ball game or a concert and someone's really violent and aggressive and obnoxious. Are they drunk or are they smoking pot? They're drunk. I have never seen people on pot get in a fight because it is impossible. Hey, buddy. Hey, what? Hey, hey. End of argument.
I'm telling you, you gotta support American Freedom Radio because this government is getting out of hand. Wall Street won't loan them my money. The CIA are cutting into my drug running and my gun running. Big Pharma's psychotropic drugs are making my customers commit suicide before my hitman can even whack them. And then they get depressed and get prescribed psychotropic drugs and commit suicide too. They're trying to become the biggest game in town. When you pay them protection money, you don't even get protected. I got unpaid taxes, and if I can't find the money, the IRS are gonna take my thumbs. I got a mandatory flu vaccine, and now I'm autistic. I reported a vaccine reaction, and the doctor told me to forget about it. What have I ever done to have them treat me so disrespectfully? There's only one way to get the government off our backs, and that's to support American Freedom Radio. Capiche? So what are you gonna do? You're gonna go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and give them some legal tender they can't refuse.
Launch sequence
initiated. We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good. Leading to move the old out. Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.